I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, it was a beautifully told tale of overcoming gang life in South Central L.A., except none of it was true. The latest literary fraud. We'll ask three people who have been close observers to past scandals, why do people do it? And we'll talk with Debbie Allen. She directs a new staging of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. That's a little later. But first, one matter was settled when the voters turned out for presidential primaries in Texas, Ohio, Vermont, and Rhode Island. Senator John McCain nailed down the Republican Party's nomination and finally forced former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee from the race. But on the Democratic side, the waters are as muddy as ever. Senator Hillary Clinton snapped Senator Obama's string of victories with convincing wins in Rhode Island and Ohio and a narrower one in Texas. Senator Obama won Vermont. Here to talk about all of this are Sarah Taylor, Republican strategist and former White House political director for President George W. Bush, and Stephanie Cutter, Democratic strategist and communications director for Senator John Kerry's White House run. Thank you both for coming, especially after a very long night for those of you who stayed up to watch the returns. So. Yeah. Let's start with you, Sarah. Let's talk about John McCain. Who would have predicted a year ago that he would have been in this position? He had to fire staff. I mean, he had to, totally scale back his campaign. I know it's a long sort of and detailed story, but how did he come back from such a low point to clinching the nomination?
Well, I think it was force of personality. You know, here's an individual who's a fighter, who's a survivor, and he did the necessary things at a time when his campaign was struggling to make sure that it was on sure footing, that when the time came in January, February, he could compete. And he did that.
Stephanie, another comeback story. I think all this kind of conversation was always exaggerated, but there were people who thought that Senator Clinton was just all but out of the race. Clearly,
right,
these current victories have put an end to that. So what happened? Did she win it or did Obama lose it?
I think a little bit of both. You know, after somebody wins a contest like that, particularly by the margins that she did in Ohio, we forget where the race was just even 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, she was up by double-digit margins. Barack, over the course of 2 weeks, was able to close that gap, but she finished really strong. Over the course of the last 3 or 4 days, she put Barack Obama on the defensive, and she gained her stride, and I think that showed. 2-1 in Texas of people who were deciding the last 3 days went in her favor.
How do you think she did it? How did she put him on the defensive?
Well, I think it was a combination of things. You know, certainly that 3 a.m. ad drove a lot of the conversation. It wasn't an ad that ran in very many places.
Who do you want answering the phone?
Who do you want answering the phone at 3 a.m. When crisis calls?
And why do you think that was effective?
Well, I think it was effective because it drove the conversation towards experience, and that's where she's strong. The other thing that was effective is the Saturday Night Live skit. It really pointed out the perceived unfairness of press treatment of her. It really did.
You think voters care about that?
I think that it put a lot of press on attention to the extent that coverage changed. I think that was a piece of it. And it allowed her to show a more human side. She was able to make fun of herself and appear on Saturday Night Live and The Daily Show. And, you know,
you're talking about two different things. First, you're talking about a skit 2 weeks ago where she was portrayed as having, as you said, so suffering from kind of unfair sort of treatment. Then she brought it up in a debate in Ohio, and a lot of people thought that was lame. But then she came on later
and actually came on
the show as a guest.
And had a really great self-deprecating moment. Mm-hmm. And it's those self-deprecating moments that, increase her likeness. And a combination of those things, I think, really humanized her and forced people to take a second look at him. And, you know, that's why all of these late deciders, I think, broke in her favor.
Sarah, get a piece of this. I'm just curious your take on the Democratic side. What do you think? Do you think happened?
It was an amazing comeback. She looked like $1 million last night, and it showed her confidence was back. It looked like she had a very her team had coalesced around a message, and she knew that it was the right message, and it worked for her. And, we're in a very long Democratic race that appears to be going to the convention at this point.
Talk to me about that, Sarah, for a minute. I mean, in the early days, it seemed that in the Republican debates, the candidates all seemed to be running against Hillary Clinton. More recently, John McCain seemed to be running against Barack Obama. Does the lack of a Democratic nominee make it easier for him or harder? Because he still has two people to run against, in a way.
I think a couple ways you can look at this. On one hand, it makes it easier because they're going to be presumably taking shots at one another, where he has a chance to tell the John McCain story, which a lot of Americans don't know much about John McCain. They know he's a maverick. They know he was a POW. But they're going to have a chance to see him for the man he is. The other side of it is that the other flip side of that, of course, is that the two candidates, the two Democrats, are going to, you know, suck up all the oxygen, so to speak, and kind of push him off the front page of the paper for the next 6 weeks. I think it's going to be the former. They're going to spend a lot of money attacking each other. This campaign, she peeled off, a couple attack ads, pretty tough attack ads in Texas, and I think you're going to see that continue.
Stephanie?
We've got 7 weeks ahead of us until the Pennsylvania contest, which really will be the decisive moment in this campaign. And that's going to be 7 weeks of real trench warfare on the Democratic side. And it's going to be some of the toughest scrutiny both candidates will get in this race. That allows John McCain to do several things. One, take a break. People are exhausted. The candidates are exhausted. The staff are exhausted. And he's been running on a skeleton staff. Allows him to raise money, which he needs to do. It allows him to unify his party, which he needs to do. And it allows him to continue to find, whether it's Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, in a way that they can't for him. Even, you know, if you look back 4 years ago, this was the moment that George Bush did the most damage to John Kerry. In running some of the first attack ads. Those ads were potentially the most damaging in the entire race because they opened a window into what was potentially the strongest arguments against him, that he was a flip-flopper, that he couldn't make up his mind. You know, he voted for it before he voted against it. And, you know, these are crucial moments in the early parts of a general election. And McCain has the upper hand.
That's a good point, because we're used to thinking of this campaign year as being so extraordinary, starting so early. And you're saying that actually, sort of historically, this is the point at which, in fact, the arguments start to really become hard. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Democratic strategist Stephanie Cutter and Republican strategist Sarah Taylor about last night's presidential primaries. I noticed that the president's going to endorse John McCain today, and not trying to be mean since I know that you work for him, but does that really help him at this point, given that the president's approval rating pretty low with the public right
now? It does help him. First of all, he's still the head of the party, and it's important to have his blessing. John McCain and George Bush have battled on many issues, and they've been allies on many issues. And so this is an important nod to Republicans, to conservatives, that John McCain is one of us, and we can be proud to support him. The president's job approval rating is near 80% with Republicans. As Stephanie mentioned earlier, John McCain does need to unify the base. I believe that's happening. That started happening over the last couple weeks, but this will be kind of the final straw needed to put the party together. And so this is an important meeting today.
Speaking of the base, Stephanie, interested in your take on how important the Latino vote was in this race. And there's been some sort of back and forth about race and the whole black-brown dynamic in this race. I'm just interested in your take on how you think the Latino vote played out in this race and whether you think race did play a role.
Well, the Latino vote didn't play a role in Ohio. Because the population is so small there. But it played a critical role in Texas. She won that by double digits, by as much as 26 points above Barack Obama. And, you know, there's lots of reasons for that. One, because of her long ties there. She had some critical endorsements in Texas in the Hispanic community and had a long history of working in that community in Texas. Barack did make some inroads in the younger generations of Latino voters, but not enough to make up any difference of any important margin. Whether or not it became a black-brown issue, I don't see any overt evidence of that, but there's lots of conversation around it. What we did see is that she regained her strength in Ohio amongst white men and women by a significant margin. And there is conversation there whether there was a racial divide happening there.
And also independence. I mean, too.
Absolutely. She won independence. She won white men. She won white women, which was expected. She won the less affluent voters in Ohio, which have been her traditional base that Barack Obama has been eating into over the last 11 contests. So, what happened in Ohio? No one really knows yet. They're still analyzing those exit polls. But whether race was a factor there should be part of the conversation.
Sarah, is interested in your take on both the Latino vote and the independent vote, because I think John McCain is a candidate who has appealed to both of those both of those groups, particularly given his stance on immigration, which he took paid a price for. I mean, as a person who supported a path to citizenship,
he did pay a price early in the primary season. Yes, it's why he is precisely the right general election candidate for Republicans. The two facts you just mentioned, and so this is going to be a factor that Democrats, I think, look at as they head to Pennsylvania. Which one of these two candidates is going to best be able to compete with John McCain, with his strength in independence, with his strength among Latinos? I think an even more interesting fact is John McCain does better against Democrats, with Democrats, gets more Democratic votes today, if you look at polling, than either Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama get with Republicans. In close elections, peeling off 2 or 3% really matters.
So what should we be looking at next very, very, very quickly? Where should we keep our eyes trained next?
Pennsylvania. I think that Pennsylvania is going to be critical, even though I think this Democratic race is going to the convention.
What do you think?
I don't think it's going to the convention. I think I would watch, the pledged delegates. There are two different pockets of delegates. You've got pledged delegates that come out of these contests, and you've got super delegates, which are Democratic officials and things of that nature. The pledged delegate count is not going to change as of last night. She'll win a marginal increase in Ohio, but she's going to come even in Texas. We need to watch where the super delegates go, because that's where the party is going to coalesce.
Democratic strategist Stephanie Cutter, Republican strategist Sarah Taylor. They both had their own communications firms here in Washington. They were both kind enough to join me here in the studio after a long night. Ladies, thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.